Welcome to Being Eve. I'm your host, Casey Alexis, and this podcast is designed for the everyday woman who seeks to do more than just survive. You want to thrive. The goal is to inspire, empower, and encourage you as you find commonalities within my story and the stories of some extraordinary guests. Join me as we dive into this brand new episode. Hey there, ladies. Welcome back to Being Eve. I am so excited to be kicking off a brand new series today with the focal point of this season, identity. So the new series, let me tell y'all all about it. It is the Storytime series on identity. And so what we're going to be doing is every single week, we are going to be focusing on a biblical character. And we are going to be focusing on their story, right? And what we can learn from their story in regards to identity, what it truly means to have our identity in Christ. And so I think this series is tremendously important because we're literally looking at their testimony. And we know by the word of God that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Testimony is such a powerful thing because the word testimony actually means God, do it again, do it again. And so as we go through every single one of these biblical characters, as we go through their story, as we look at their testimony, it is so important for us to lean and glean in on what they went through, how they were able to overcome, what they did so that we can do it also to hopefully reap the same results, right? Reap what God was able to do in their lives. Use that as a prayer point example. When we're praying before the Father, say, Lord, you are no respecter of persons. That is what your word declares. So what you did for so-and-so in the word, I know that you can do for me too. And so I'm very excited about this series. And so the first story time character that we are going to focus on this identity series is none other than Father Abraham. That's right. Father Abraham had many sons, many sons, many sons. That Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. And so if you know that song, you have been in Bible study as a child, Sunday school, you went to a Christian school, because that song is famous in those worlds. And so we are going to be focusing in on Abraham. His story is so powerful. And to me, that's where it all started, right? Noah's story is powerful, but Abraham is where it all began, where the promise was given. And so I wanted to start there to highlight his story and for us to lean in on it, glean from it, learn what we need to learn in regards to identity. And hopefully it blesses us and encourages us and equips us and takes our relationship with God to a whole new stratosphere in him. And so let's jump right in. Abraham's story begins at Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. So ladies, I highly recommend you either one, listen to this episode, then go read it, or two, listen and read simultaneously, or three, read his story first, then come listen to the episode. You're definitely going to want to get into your word in this one, and I highly recommend you getting into your word all the time, moving forward if you haven't been, because the word of God is so important. The word of God builds up our prayer life. It builds up our relationship with the Father. And so I highly encourage you to do one of the three as we jump into this particular biblical character's story. So chapter 11 goes into a little bit of a genealogy, Abram's story, because he actually was named Abram. His name didn't change into Abraham until later in his story. So I'm going to call him Abram just to stick to the format of his story. So when he is introduced in chapter 11, he is introduced as Abram. There is a genealogy breakdown from Noah's sons, right? And so Abram comes from the genealogy of Noah's son named Shem. Okay. And so there's that breakdown. And then in chapter 12, it says, chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless your great name, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Then it continues on into verse 4, and it says, in my translation, so Abram went. Okay, so now here's the first lesson, right? That is amazing to me. God in chapter 12 tells him to come out. Come out from everything that you know. Come out from your family. And I need you to go out into unfamiliar territory. I need you to go out into a place that you've never been before without the people you're familiar with. And I need for you to trust me. And in the trust and in the obedience, I will. God was sharing with Abram his will for his life. I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation. I will, boom, I will. I thought that was so powerful that the Lord was pouring into Abram his will. And then the next powerful thing that was like amazing to me, the next lesson I should say for us all, is the fact that the word of God says shortly thereafter, so Abram went. My goodness. He went. He didn't sit down and think about it. He didn't sit down and think of all the things that could go wrong. He didn't sit down and mull over it and grieve over it that he had to leave his family, his friends, all that he loves, all that he's comfortable with. He didn't ask the Lord for more. He didn't ask the Lord for a sign. He didn't do any of the things that we would normally do. It just says, so Abram went. And it just made me think about all the things that God has called me to do, God, things that he may have called you to do, things that he said, I will do this. I will do that. This is my will for you. And he's given you a vision and he's laid it out for you. And you still drag your feet. We still drag our feet. We come up with all of these excuses. But God, can you give me more? Can you show me more? We want to confirm it with two or three witnesses, or we want to confirm it with a whole bunch of people. We want to make sure that it's his voice and not my voice and Lord. And the word said so simply, Abram went. I think that is a lesson that we need to highlight, pinpoint. Just meditate on that alone. Father God, give me the obedience that when you call me, when you tell me to go out, to come out and then go out, that I go. So many of us, you know, we have that issue of just coming out of the world, right? The Bible says, come out from the world and be separate. But yet we drag our feet just coming out of the world, coming out from the very things that was trying to kill us. It's so important, ladies, that in this particular lesson right here, that we ask God to help us. Lord, teach us. Lord, do a work in us that when you tell us to go out, to come out and go out, that we just listen and obey. Come out of that relationship. Get up from those people. Stop hanging around those friends. Stop eating that food. It's going to kill you. Or, you know, I need you to leave that church. It's no longer for you. I need for you to go into this ministry, a greater ministry where you're going to learn more. We drag our feet. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we learn how to come out and go out. Come out and go out speedily and with full obedience. All right, next one. Okay, so now we get to chapter 13. And with Abram leaving his family, he leaves with his wife and his nephew's family, Lot, his nephew, his wife, and all those people. They leave with him. And so immediately following, Abraham is blessed. The Bible talks about how he had an abundance of livestock. The blessings just followed because of the obedience. Let me repeat that. The blessings followed because of the obedience. So in the obedience, God blessed. In the obedience, the will of God began to manifest in Abram's life. And so he made promises to Abraham and he kept them. He kept them. And so it got to a point where the livestock and the wealth and the riches got so abundant, Abram and Lot can no longer travel together. They had to separate. And they made an agreement. They said, if you go east, I will go west. If you go north, I will go south. So Abram and Lot separated. I want to take this moment here to highlight this lesson. There are times elevation will require separation. The Lord will require us to leave certain relationships alone. Or leave a friendship alone. Not because that person wasn't necessarily good for you, but because where he wants to take you, the level of promotion that he has for you, you can no longer be attached to that particular individual. They may not be ready for the world and the life that he needs for you to be in. They may not be ready to handle who you're going to become. They may cause delay in your life and your future. They may become a stumbling block to you. And so God sees all and he knows all. The Bible says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So who better when a relationship goes sour or when he requires you to separate from someone to be obedient to, right? Who better to be obedient to than God? And so again, ladies, here's this lesson. Elevation, there are times it's going to require separation. And the separation doesn't mean a destruction of the relationship. The separation doesn't necessarily have to mean that everyone is angry at each other or there's bad blood between each other. It just literally means we got to go separate ways because God is doing something different in each and every one of our lives. And where I'm going, you can't go. And where you're going, I can't go. Together is just going to be too much. And therefore, we're still cool. I still love you, but I have to go and do this thing. And then we're all at peace and we're good with it. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham and Lot. There wasn't any bad blood. There wasn't any argument that caused the division. The division happened because God required separation to elevate Abram. And that was confirmed within the chapter itself because he reiterated his promise to Abram. He reiterated that, listen, I know that separation may have hurt. I know you probably wanted to stick with your nephew. I know that was like the last piece of your comfort zone, but I promise you these blessings, it will not be in vain. And so that's exactly what happened. They separated. Lot went and settled in one area. Abraham settled in another. And it turned out the area where Lot ended up settling, and that area actually landed him in captivity. His family, everything, everyone, his servants, everyone ended up going into captivity by these kings. And so Abram learns of it. And of course, he's not going to allow his family to be, you know, held captive against their will. So he goes and takes 300 plus men and goes and wars against these kings. And then he actually wins. I was so, my eyes were so wide open about that because I read Abram's story before, but for some reason I completely missed that. Or this time I actually paid attention to it. Abram was also a warrior. The father of faith was a warrior as well. And he got his nephew back, his family, everything that his nephew lost, he got back for him. And he went with just 300 men against a group of kings. I thought that was powerful. One of the things I want to highlight here to kind of backtrack that Abram was 75 years old when he was called out. He was 75 years old. when he was told to leave his family. That is an old age. That's pretty much, you're settled in your ways at 75, okay? And so the fact that he was called out and was told to go into different territory and all that good stuff, leave his comfort zone, all that he knew, and he did it quickly and suddenly, my goodness. That is amazing. Some of us are, you know, I've just got into my 40s and I'm like, Lord, I need to be as obedient as Abram was in that particular instance, that at that age, he was able to take a huge leap of faith and it paid off. So for all of my older folks, even for those of you who may have just turned 40 or maybe in your late 30s and you're struggling, you're like, oh my goodness, I should be here by now in my life. And why am I not married yet? Why don't I have kids yet? What's going on? And you're beating yourself up instead of seeking the face of God for his promise, right? Don't beat yourself up. In due time, the very things that God has promised you, it will come to pass. But are you seeking him? Are you being obedient to his will? Is there a form of delay in your life because of disobedience? So there's a number of things you got to ask yourself. And then also be encouraged that if at 75 years old, God can do a new thing in Abram, how much more can he do for you? And that's the power of testimony, folks. Okay, so now in regards to those kings. So Abram was able to overcome those kings, right? And the king of Sodom wanted to bless Abraham. He wanted to give Abraham a blessing for what transpired. And Abraham told him no. And that was such a key lesson that I saw for myself. And prayerfully, as I share it, you'll see it for yourself too. Not every blessing is a blessing. There are certain blessings that are disguised as a curse or has another spirit behind it or has another motive that will end up biting you later. And you'll see that because, mind you, highlight, it was the king of Sodom. Okay, and we'll talk about Sodom later in this episode. But it was the king of Sodom wanting to bless Abram. And so can you imagine what would have transpired later as we get to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah if he had in fact believed that thing was going to be a blessing to him? What would it have reaped in his life? Because when someone blesses you, they sow into you. And there is a principle of sowing and reaping, right? Not everyone who sows into your life loves you. Not everyone who sows into your life for your good. There are certain people that sow into your life for evil. Certain things happened in your life, certain violations, trauma, those were all souls. Somebody was sowing something into you that later in life reaped havoc, reaped destruction, reaped pain. And so therefore, we don't always want people sowing into us. It made me really pay attention to the fact that not all blessings are blessings. Really pray about taking things from people. Pray about contracts and agreements that you're making with people. Don't just put your name on something because it looks good, because not every sow is a good sow, because something could be sowed into you, your business, your life, your family, your marriage, that could reap later havoc. But at the time, it may look good. It may look like good fruit, right? It may look good to eat, and then it turns around and ends up being a snake that bites you. So I highly encourage you guys to highlight that lesson that Abram is teaching us so well with his story. Not every blessing is a blessing. And he turns down the blessing from the king of Sodom. He tells him no thank you, and he proceeds to move forward. And then another king introduces himself, and it is a king by the name of Melchizedek. And the interesting part about that story, there's a lot with that, but I'm not going to go into that right now for the sake of this episode. I'm trying to get it to 30 minutes and we're already almost past that. But Abram ends up sowing into Melchizedek. He ends up giving him 10%. for those of us church people, we know 10% is a tithe. So he ends up sowing a tithe into Melchizedek instead of taking from the king of Sodom. So that's another lesson. It's better to give than to receive. And so we want to make sure that we're always in the line of giving, that we're always in the line of sowing rather than always looking to reap, because the blessing came upon Abraham because of what he sowed into Melchizedek. All right. So the next lesson that we're going to get from Abram, after everything that happened with the king of Sodom and the king of Melchizedek, in chapter 15, God tells Abram, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be great. My goodness. But then Abraham said, Lord God, what can you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is going to be a servant? And so in that moment, God promises Abram a son. He tells him that he is going to be given a son, that his wife is going to bear him a son, that he does not have to worry about his servant being his heir. And then God proceeds to tell him how he's going to make him into a great nation. He shows him the stars in the skies and literally gives him an example. You can't count the stars in the sky. That's how much the generations will be so abundant after you. You will not be able to count the generations that are going to come from you. Then he shows him the sand and tells him the same thing. You're not going to be able to count the generations that's going to come from you, just like you cannot count the sand, the grain of sand that is on the beach. And so he then proceeds to tell Abram to, you know, make a sacrifice. And of course, back then, you know, the sacrifices were important because they sealed the covenant that God was making between Abraham and God, between Abram and God. And so that's another lesson that I want to highlight right here, ladies. Sacrifice. Sacrifice seals covenant. We have to get to a place in our lives where we have to be willing to sacrifice in order to see the abundance of God in our lives. And a lot of times we don't see the abundance of God in our lives because we're not willing to sacrifice. We're begging for God to show his glory. But how can we beg the God that showed his glory to Abram in such a way? And Abram was willing to sacrifice so much, but yet here we are, not willing to sacrifice a tithe, not willing to sacrifice 10% of our income, not willing to sacrifice a couple of hours to sow into ministry, not willing to sacrifice time of fasting and praying before the Lord. But we want the same results as Abram. You see how crazy that sounds? So we have to be willing to embrace sacrifice. We have to be willing to say, you know what, Lord, I will give this unto you. I will lay these things down in order to see you, in order for you to be glorified through me. Be willing to sacrifice, ladies. Let's learn from our father Abraham and be willing to sacrifice in order to seal the covenant with our God, to seal a covenant with him, our promise to him. Some of us made promises to God. We made covenants with God that we have yet to keep. You know, we told Lord, oh God, if you could just get me out of this situation, oh, I will do this. Father, if you could open this door, I will do this. And here is God still waiting for you to do that very thing that you promised, that very covenant you made with him. And so that's why the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, because God does not take covenants lightly. Covenants mean so much to God. And we see that throughout Abraham's story, how important it was for God to keep his covenant with him. And so he seals the covenant with a sacrifice. At this point, Abram is old. So to hear a promise about bearing a child at that old age is like, wait a minute. Sarai is also old. Sarai, his wife at the time, her name was Sarai. She's also old. And so she's like, wait a minute, how am I going to bear a child at this age? So of course, Sarai, being a woman, in her creative mind, her creative thinking was like, well, maybe the child of the promise won't be born through me. Maybe he will be born through another means. Let me give Abram, my servant girl, tell him to marry her, lay with her, and then that child will be my child, and that will be the child of the promise. So Abram, like Adam, listens to his wife and lays down, has relations with Hagar, her servant, and she gets pregnant. And at the sight of the pregnancy, Sarai is completely upset. She begins to antagonize Hagar. She begins to become mean with her, abusing her, because now it's like, wow. So this whole time, the problem was me. Because if you think about it, woman to woman, if I was with my man, the only one with my man, and we're not having children, I can assume it's one of us, right? But now that I know that the problem is me, because here he is laying with this woman, she gets pregnant, so now it's me. So can you imagine the resentment and the bitterness that begins to grow in Sarai's heart because she realizes she's the broken piece? And of course, she takes that anger out, resentment out, bitterness out, not on Abram, not on God. She takes it out on Hagar, the servant, the one that was put into this mess, not because she was willing, but because she had to, because she was a servant. So she kicks Hagar out. She tells her, you got to go, okay? You and that baby in your womb got to go. Yeah, she kicked the whole pregnant lady out, y'all. And so Hagar is crying. She leaves, and she's just so distraught. And by the grace of God, God who is so good and so kind and so faithful that even in our mistakes, he hears our cries. And he hears Hagar's cries, and he tells her he will be with her. He sees her. He has not forgotten her. To go back home, do everything Sarai tells you to do, and he will be with you. And your son will also be a great nation. Now, here's the powerful lesson there. How many of us would have went back? How many of us would have went back to the abuse? How many of us would have went back to the torture of what Sarai was dishing out? And it highlights how sometimes we could be going through a storm and we are so quick to run out of the situation, not realizing that staying, there's a blessing in the staying. There's a blessing in the commitment. There's a blessing in the tarrying by faith, knowing that the God that got you in it will be the God that gets you out of it. And when he gets you out of it, when he says it's time to go, there's going to be an abundance of blessings with it. And it just, oh my goodness, that blessed me right there. The fact that Hagar went back. And she went back not to a calm environment, not to a loving environment where she's going to get her feet rubbed and baths poured out for her and stuff. She went back to some hardship. And I know a lot of us would have been like, bump that. God, I ain't hear a word you say. I'm not going back to that. How could you send me back to that, God? How could you send me back to that? You know? And not realizing that in the waiting, in the staying, there's a promise and there's a blessing. So I hope you ladies grab onto that. Okay, so the next piece in Abram's story. Now, here's a powerful part in the story, y'all. So after all that mess, right, that soap opera between Sarai and Hagar and Abram, like, bruh, I just did what you told me to do, and now you yelling at me, talking about. So after all of that, God seals his covenant with Abram. Y'all, that is blessing me even right now. My heart is just so in love with God. I'm so in love with him because he is so in love with me. He is so in love with you. After that mistake, God still seals his promise to Abram. And so at this point, God tells him, you know, this is happening. This is going to happen. At this point now, Abram is 99 years old. And the Lord appears to Abram and says, I am God Almighty. Live in my presence and be blameless. I will set up my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell face down, and God spoke with him. As for me, here is my covenant with you. You will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful and will make nations and kings come from you. I will confirm my covenant that is between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generations. It is a permanent covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. And to you and your future offspring, I will give the land where you are residing, all the land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. God also said to Abraham, as for you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations, are to keep my covenant. So this is the covenant that God makes with Abraham. Now I got to get used to calling him Abraham now. This is after the whole Hagar debacle. God blesses him and he tells him, I'm changing your name. You are no longer Abram. So that foolishness that you did with the Hagar and all that stuff, we can't have that happen no more. You must be blameless before me. Okay? You must be blameless. He said, live in my presence and be blameless. And so he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. So the name change is very significant because we know someone's name has a lot to do with who they are, right? When you look at the definition of the word name by way of Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says a word or a phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or a thing. A word or symbol used in logic to designate an entity. An illustrious record. It also says by authority of, for the reason of, to give a name to mention or identify by name, to nominate for office, to decide on, relating to or bearing a name. So literally, a name identifies someone. It identifies a person. So don't take names lightly. Don't name your children lightly either, because names signify such a great thing. And you can see that here when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. It's like, I'm making you new. What was in the past is the past. You are going to be brand new and you are going to live in my presence. And you are going to be blameless. And so therefore, I need your name to be different. I need your name to be a name that is blameless and that lives in my presence, because you are going to be a father of many nations. And at this point, Abraham was 99 years old. He did not have a child in sight, but what the child that Hagar ended up having, but that wasn't the child of the promise. And the Lord made that explicitly clear. So at this point, Abraham is 99 years old. And here God is promising him once again, he is going to be a father of many nations. Now, when he first met God, he was 75 years old. So how many years is that Abraham had to wait? 24 years of waiting. 24 years of waiting for this promise. Patiently waiting. How many of us have been waiting one day and are already like anxious and like, God, where are you? How many of us have been waiting 6 months? How many of us have been waiting a year? And still in the waiting, we get annoyed, frustrated, we sin, we commit all sorts of acts because we get frustrated with the waiting process. Very few of us actually praise in the waiting, worship in the waiting, pray in the waiting. Be joyful in the waiting. So 24 4 years of waiting for the promise. Then God gives him the promise again, and he still ain't got it. And he's older. He's 99 years old at this point. And so after God, you know, confirms the covenant, he says, okay, now I need the covenant to be marked in your flesh. Mm-hmm. He tells Abraham at 99 years old that this covenant that we're making today needs to be a covenant of circumcision. Okay, your household, everyone in your household must be circumcised. Now, y'all know circumcision, most of y'all women listening to me anyway, so we've never experienced a circumcision, so we don't know how it feels, but most of the time, circumcisions are done when the child is an infant for a reason, because there's pain, lots of pain, and Abraham commits to keeping this covenant by circumcising his whole entire household. And so that was the mark of the covenant on Abraham. That was the mark of that covenant on his family. That set them apart with all surrounding nations, because nobody was doing that around that time. Nobody was circumcising their sons. And so the fact that God said that, it marked them in flesh, what God was already requiring in heart and in mind, right? Complete obedience, live in my presence, be blameless. So after that amazing act of obedience, God now confirms his covenant with Abraham. And in chapter 18, God visits Abraham physically. There's a physical manifestation of God on earth with two additional angels coming to visit Abraham. Now, many theologians say that this is actually Christ himself, because we do know that we serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so many scholars, theologians believe that this was actually Christ himself, because Christ was there since the very beginning, right? He was there at the formation of the earth and of the world. So there's no surprise there that he would be the one God would physically send down to sit with Abraham. And so he visits Abraham and they sit and they eat and they talk. And he reconfirms to Abraham that you're around this time next year, Sarah will have a son. You and Sarah will conceive a child. Now, Sarah's in the kitchen cooking, child, and Sarah's cracking up because she's like, me? I'm 99 years old. How in the world am I now going to be able to bear a child? And so God hears, Jesus hears, and he says, so you laughing back there? And Sarah's like, no, I'm not, girl. You know you was... You know you were laughing too. Oh, and by the way, Abraham's name didn't only change. Sarai's name did too. So she went from Sarai to Sarah. So she also had a name change as well. Just showing how God did not forget about her too, that she is a daughter of the promise as well. She was blessed by God as well to not only hear the promise, but to conceive the promise, to bring life to the promise. She was chosen for the promise, even in her mistake. So ladies, if you've made mistakes in your past, even if you made mistakes after becoming a born-again Christian, after saying the prayer of salvation, it's not over for you. God still has a promise that he's put inside of you, a promise that he will watch over until its completion. And so know that just as Sarah made a mistake and was still given the promise and still given the name change and was still allowed to bring life to the promise, so shall you also will be a life bearer, a bringer of life to a promise that God has put inside of you. Yes and amen. So, God is with him. God talks to him. They have a relationship. So that is the difference, right? I truly believe that signified where things went from religion to relationship with Abraham. They have a relationship now. Him and Abraham have a relationship. He sits with him. He dines with him. And what confirms it even more is on his way out, as Christ was about to leave with the, you know, his fellow friends, his angels, and they were going, he says, shall I conceal what I'm about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah from Abraham? And he shares with Abraham what he's about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was wilding out, y'all. They were sinning like crazy. And so God heard the cries of the people. He smelled the sin. It was filthy. It was nasty to him. And so he was ready to destroy it. And so he shares with Abraham his plans, because that's what you do when you have a relationship with someone. You share your secrets with them. You share your plans. And that's what he does. And he tells Abraham his heart. And so Abraham begins to intercede. He begins to ask the Lord, will you judge the righteous with the wicked? Will you condemn them? Will you have the righteous perish with the wicked? Father, surely you won't do. He says, God, surely you won't do that. And so he starts to bargain with Jesus. He starts to say, well, what if there's 40 righteous people? Will you destroy it? And he goes down all the way to 10. And the Lord says to him, okay, Abraham, if there's 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not destroy the land. And that's a lesson right there for us, ladies, how powerful God sees us, that he's willing to sit down and reason with us as we intercede, that he's willing to be lenient on certain things, that he's willing to say, you know, turn away the wrath that should come to us if we just talk to him about it, reason with him about it, intercede for others. And so that's just so amazing right there. It just shows me the power of prayer, really just sitting down and talking with God, reasoning with him, interceding for others, standing in the gap for others, praying for others. Those folks in Sodom had no idea that Abraham was in there praying for them, interceding for them, getting that number down to 10. If you can find 10, Lord, please save Sodom and Gomorrah. Unfortunately, the story unfolds. God didn't find 10. He couldn't even find one. And so Lot at the time was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. So go ahead and read that story of what transpired. I'm not going to go into that because this is about Abraham. It's not about Lot. So I'm going to skip over the Sodom and Gomorrah story, and you guys can read that on your own time. Okay, so, and I'm going to chapter 20. So now Abraham is traveling with his wife, and they settle in this particular region, and there's a king Abimelech there. This is the second time Abraham does this, by the way. The first time he was Abram, he did it in Egypt. This is his second time doing this with another king, Abimelech. And what happened is Sarah was beautiful, and Sarah was actually Abraham's half-sister. Back then they did that. Okay, we don't do that now, but back then that was okay. And so Abraham, because she was so beautiful, he was worried that people will try to kill him just to take her. And so he would tell her, when we go into these territories, just tell these people you're my sister, which technically wasn't a lie. It just was a half truth because he didn't tell them he was also married to her. So at one point, King Abimelech, he sees Sarah, she's fine. So he's like, yeah, I'm finna take your sister. And so he brings her into his household. He then has a dream, and God visits him in a dream and tells him, like, sir, you're about to bring a curse. Well, a curse did fall on his house. His whole entire household was cursed because he had Sarah there. And Abimelech is like, that was not my intent. I did not know that this woman was his wife. Please remove it. Please have Abraham pray for me. And so God tells him in the dream, okay, well, the man Abraham, he is a prophet, so he will pray for you and the curse will be lifted. Guess what the curse was? Every woman in his household was barren. Was declared barren. They were not going to be able to have any children. And so why am I bringing this particular part up? I'm bringing this up because it revealed two things, key lessons here, ladies. One, barrenness, right? If you're at this point in your life where you're married and you haven't had children yet and you're hoping for a child, you have the right to seek the face of God about it because of two things. One, Sarah was also barren, but God allowed the barrenness to happen for a reason. It was for his glory. It was for a particular time until that time was revealed. And that time did come when she was able to bear a son, right? And then the second thing it showed is that barrenness can also be a curse. So you can be barren and there's a curse in your life. And it's not necessarily a curse because you did something, but it could be because somebody in your family or your bloodline did something. For example, Abimelech didn't know what transpired. He didn't know she was married to Abraham, but the curse fell on his house. Did those women participate? Did those women kidnap Sarah? No, they had nothing to do with it. But because the curse fell on his house, his name, his family, they were impacted and they were declared barren by God and they were not able to have children. So if you're in this situation, cry out to God. Cry out to God and find out based upon your relationship with him. Abraham shows us if you have a relationship with God, you have the authority and the ability to come boldly before the throne of grace and cry out to him for answers. Father, are you waiting for an opportune time to open up my womb? Is there a particular reason that you have closed my womb? Or is there a curse within my family bloodline? Is there something that transpired in my family that caused this curse to fall upon me? Reveal it to me, Lord God, so that I must do what I have to do in order to, one, wait for the promise, or two, break the curse. And God is so faithful and God is so kind, as he revealed in this particular chapter with Abimelech, that he uplifted the curse. The curse was removed from them once Abimelech returned Sarah back to her husband. Abraham interceded and was able to remove the curse. So seek the face of God. So after that, in chapter 21, Sarah becomes pregnant. Sarah becomes pregnant and they have their son. And after they have their son, the situation with Hagar comes up again. And this time they throw out Hagar for good, girl. This time Hagar is put out for good because she, you know, the son wasn't the son of the promise. He wasn't the son that God promised Abraham that he would have. And he wasn't that son that's going to bear many nations, that God was going to specifically use that particular gene pool to do what he needed to do. And so therefore, you know, God said, listen to Sarah, you know, have Hagar leave, but don't worry. Don't worry about Hagar. Don't worry about the son. I'm going to bless them. He is also going to be a great nation. And God kept his promise. It was rough at first. You know, Hagar went out, you know, they gave her some water and they sent her on her way. And at some point the water ran out, it ran dry, and she's in the barren desert crying out to God. She put the son down and she was like, I can't watch him die. And she was just crying, wailing before God. And then the Lord sent an angel and gave her a message and said, you know, fear not, I got you. He's going to be a great nation too. And Hagar proceeded to be blessed, and so did Ishmael. Okay. And so we go to chapter 22 from there. And in chapter 22 is the chapter where Abraham now is tested by God. So God gives him this promise. You're going to have a son. The son is born, right? This is the son of the promise. This is the son of the inheritance. This is the son that many generations are going to come out of. God tells him, okay, verbatim in verse 2, take your son, he said, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Next verse. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split the wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, my father. And he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, Here I am. Then he said, Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. The Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. The lesson there, ladies, is so great. First and foremost, Father Abraham, my God, the Lord gave him a promise, and in the same breath, the Lord tells him, I need you to sacrifice the promise on an altar as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham didn't hesitate. Abraham didn't question. Abraham didn't ask for confirmation. He didn't ask for a sign. Abraham did. He followed the instructions to a T. He got up the next morning. He called his servants. He took his son, packed everything that they needed, and went up to that place to do exactly what the Lord required. Abraham, my goodness, what a story. What a story of faith, tremendous faith, that you believe God enough that you're going to do exactly what God tells you to do, even when it comes to sacrificing your only son, your only begotten son. And it just, it awes me. It awes me of Abraham's faith and level of sacrifice. And it makes me understand even more now why God blessed him so. Because he was willing to sacrifice it all. He was willing to sacrifice everything to the point of death. He held nothing back from God. And because of that, God held nothing back from him. He was willing to slaughter his very own son for the will of the Father, knowing that, hey, if God says he's going to bless me and he's going to bless my generations and I'm going to be a father of many nations, surely God is either one, going to resurrect this son that I put to death, or two, going to give me another one. Because so far, every word that he's given me has come to pass. So why would I not believe him now? Why would he fail me now? Ladies, I encourage us all, because this story right here, Abraham's testimony right here, blessed me so much in regards to identity in Christ. Identity in Christ is literally sacrificing your wants, your desires, your all. Putting yourself to death, as the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Crucifying yourself with Christ. No longer living, but now Christ living through you and in you. That is fully identity in Christ, willing to sacrifice it all, even to the point of death, to see the will of the Father being manifested into your life. Because that's truly what identity in Christ is. You cannot hold on to your old self, your old identity, and have your identity in Christ. The two will always be at war. One has to die. And we know it's not going to be the identity in Christ, because Christ is alive. He lives. He already destroyed death. Death could not hold him. So you have to make a choice, a willing choice, to say, you know what? I put to death everything. I put to death everything for the will of my Father, to see the fullness of God manifested in my life. And when you think about it, you think about the verses that even Jesus himself spoke. He said, those who lose their life for me will live. Literally saying, I put to death everything to follow you. I will lose everything to follow you. I put to death my identity, my wants, my desires, my old ways, the past, all of that. Even the relationships, if I need to, I will follow you. I will sacrifice it all to follow you. The very things that you told me you will give me, I will give it back to you to follow you. That's exactly what Abraham did, was about to do. The very thing God promised him, the promise, he said, I'll give it back to you. You promised it to me, but I'm giving it back to you. I'm willing to sacrifice it all. And so, ladies, with this story, Abraham's story, be encouraged. Seek after the face of God. Be willing to come out from the world. Be willing to leave it all behind to follow God's will for your life. Come out and go out. Do everything that he's asked for you to do. Go back to the place where he told you to do something and you disobeyed, and begin to obey. Don't delay when he tells you to do something, because delayed obedience is still disobedience. Follow his will for your life, because his plans for you are to prosper you and not to harm you. It's plans to give you a hope and a future. And I'm talking to myself too, guys. This episode blessed me, and I pray that it blessed you. Me breaking this down really encouraged me to just lose it all for God, not to hold back anything. Father, take it all. Take it all. Have your way in our lives. Take it all, God. We give it back to you. We give our marriages to you. We give our lives to you. We give our husbands to you. We give all of our children to you. Have your way. The same things that you gave us, that you promised us, Father, we sacrifice them all and we give them back to you. Because we know in your hands, it's going to do exactly what it needs to do. It's going to be abundant. It will live. It will live an abundant life in your hands, Father. So take it, God. Take it all. Have it all. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name. So that ends where the story of Abraham, for me, that's pretty much where I wanted to take it. After that, you know, Sarah passes away. Abraham is blessed even more. He gets married again. He has even more children. Isaac gets married. It's just a blessed story of God's abundant promises and grace and love and kindness towards his children. So I encourage you to read more and just be encouraged to lose your identity for him. What are you holding on to that God wants you to get rid of so that he can have his glory revealed in your life? What are you holding on to that he's like, daughter, let it go so that I can bless you for all the more, so I can open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you? What are you holding on to that is holding you back from the will of the Father? What are you holding on to that's killing, stealing, and destroying your future? What are you holding on to that's causing him not to be able to mark you and call you his own? What are you holding on to? Today is that day. Make a decision to let it go. Make a decision to put your old identity to death and rise again in Christ Jesus. Rise again in his image and his likeness. Doing everything that he has called for you to do. Leaving your comfort zone, leaving those friends that you're comfortable with that are distracting you, that are distorting you, that are causing you to fall backwards rather than move forward. Because we know, as the word says, bad company corrupts good character. What are you holding on to that you need to let go of today? Whatever the cost, whatever the cost, whatever the cost, let it go today. Because God has so much greater. Ladies, I pray this episode blessed you as much as it blessed me, y'all. I will see you next week for our next character, which will be a complete surprise. See y'all soon. Hey, girl, have you gotten your copy of Being Eve in Adam's World? No? Well, what are you waiting for? This book is a revelatory interpretation of the very first woman to ever walk the face of the earth. Although Eve's story is very brief, there is so much to be learned from her. Heck, the podcast was named after her. When you open up the very first chapter of this book, you will begin to travel through Eve's journey, a voyage of discovery that reveals the life of every woman in some way, shape, or form. At the end of each chapter, you will also find lessons from Eve to you. Each lesson derived from her personal experiences will be a guiding light on how to thrive in Adam's world. So get your copy of Being Eve in Adam's World today. You'll find the link in the show notes. Well, ladies, thank you for tuning in. I hope this episode blessed you as much as it did me. Before we depart, a quick reminder to head on over to the show notes where you will find all the info to keep in contact with Being Eve and to learn more about our guests. Make sure to let them know Being Eve sent you. Last but certainly not least, ladies, don't forget to review, share, and subscribe. This is your opportunity to let the whole world know where we gather for absolutely free. As always, ladies, please continue to love, live, and thrive without losing the authentic you.